Okay, so another one of our trending cases, modernizing medicine. That's the $45 million settlement. This is actually part two of a settlement. So I want to say it was 2019, Miraca Life Sciences, which is a large clinical lab, paid a 60-something million dollars for the exact same set of facts. And modernizing medicine drew it out a little bit longer, but they finally have had their settlement published in the last year. This one's interesting because you had an EHR company both paying kickbacks to potential customers to get them to sign up and buy the platform, but they didn't stop there. They also had the deal with the lab to get the modernizing medicine EHR users to basically treat Miraca as a preferred lab, as well as a deal with lab to use the safe harbor for donations of EHR to donate these modernizing medicine EHR systems. And Miraca didn't do that right. So actually, the investigation started there. Miraca didn't follow the safe harbor requirements for donating EHR. OIG came in, started the investigation, and then, Pandora's box was open as to modernizing medicine. So, decent settlement for part two of that case, and I think that's the last party involved, so we should not have to hear about that particular arrangement again. And then some classic, settlements of sham medical directorships again. But to hit home that kickback is still a criminal statute, even if we talk a lot about the dollars, because that's typically the type of conduct our clients may have compliance foibles, might not be interesting to a federal prosecutor for a criminal, but sometimes it is. And Dr. May found out the hard way, Arkansas physician convicted of participating in multi-million dollar kickback conspiracy involving fraudulent pain cream prescriptions. This was like all the rage. I remember sitting in a conference room with Donna, and somebody came in to get our blessing on one of these pain cream deals that was so obviously like a kickback, and we showed him to the door immediately. That was 12 years ago, and these settlements continue to come out because it was just such prolific and obvious fraud. Many of them, just a reminder, if you don't traffic in this law every day to remember the scope of the kickback statute, many of them got in trouble because they tried to be too cute. They said, "We aren't going to dispense our pain creams that are the result of all these fraudulent kickback arrangements to Medicare and Medicaid beneficiaries, and then we don't have to worry about the kickback statute." But they went after TRICARE, which is also a federal healthcare program, so they were not even good at their way around the kickback statute. So we don't want any of our clients to be Dr. May. And then a quick note, as I said, I'm not going to bore you guys with developments in the interpretation of these laws through the False Claims Act in general, but we did have an important Eighth Circuit decision that is a burgeoning area where we may have more opportunities for the Supreme Court to weigh in on the kickback statute, which they haven't done a whole lot of, because this Eighth Circuit decision creates a split from the standard in the Third Circuit, where the idea of what's required for proving a kickback violation under the Affordable Care Act amendment that said a claim for items or services resulting from a kickback violation is a false claim for purposes of the FCA. This Eighth Circuit case now says, but the government has to establish but-for causation, that the claim would not have been submitted absent the illegal kickbacks, which is interesting because that is not what the amendment says, or not the way that Congress thought, as part of that huge piece of legislation they were doing in adopting that amendment. Okay, and this is my favorite line of cases right now, so I apologize in advance for nerding out on it. But I think there's a human element that even if you don't advise in this law every day, could be interesting because we all know that drugs are way too expensive, right? Whether you're a Medicare beneficiary, uninsured, have a Cadillac health insurance program through your employer, drugs are just way too expensive. And so we had Pfizer and another coalition of manufacturers that we'll talk about recently. They have been spending a lot of money trying to lobby to get relief from the burdens that the kickback statute places in their mind on what they can do for marketing their drugs, and now for helping to reduce copay burdens that Medicare beneficiaries have. And this first one that we'll talk about involved Pfizer going to the OIG and asking for an advisory opinion for a proposed direct copay assistance program for patients that were taking a new breakthrough cardiovascular disease, meaning the only one approved for by the FDA to treat this particular disease state. And the problem is that their new drug was the most expensive cardiovascular drug ever approved and launched in the US. The estimate is $225,000 per year for a course of treatment with this drug. What that means for Medicare beneficiaries with a Part D benefit is that they would pay approximately $13,000 each year in their out-of-pocket expenditures for their copays associated with this drug if they had been prescribed it. And according to the work that OIG did as part of the advisory opinion, they estimated that adopting Pfizer's copay program would have cost the federal programs $30 billion a year in more drug spending.